Hey, what's up again? It's Movies On Up. Still Ryan.
Still Dave.
Still Dave. We're still here after a year. If you caught our last news episode, we told you that this week we're going to be giving little snippets of past glories from episodes of Movies On Up of yesteryear, about a year ago. For the most part, they are lists. The last little bonus episode we did were movies that we loved as a kid that we still love now. We gave you our top five of those. We've got some other lists coming up this week. This one specifically, not really a list. It's more of a discussion. Occasionally, Dave and I are prone to tangents that we will get off on.
This one was kind of a planned tangent. Like, this was, generally we'll go off on a topic and it kind of happens naturally. This was a discussion you wanted to have just about technology in movies, because it was about the time that The Hobbit was kind of getting some backlash for
when Peter Jackson first kind of came out with his, at least the footage from his 48 frames per second Hobbit, which I still haven't seen, and that pisses me off a little bit. But it came off, some folks thought it was gimmicky. So I thought to myself, boy, wouldn't it be interesting if we took a look at some tropes in moviedom over the past couple of years that have been done by directors that maybe came off as gimmicky, and see if they're still being used, if they're still gimmicky, or if they've become kind of accepted.
Yeah. What I remember most about this episode is you tried to lay out and explain what you wanted to talk about. And I, up until the episode, I had no idea. Like, I just didn't understand, and I couldn't ask, because I felt like I had asked like five or six times what you meant. So I kind of went into it blind, but as you got talking, I understood. And I hope I was able to contribute enough. Like, I haven't listened to it. This was from July 10th of 2012, so
it's a little back there.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it, so hopefully I had some to contribute. But I remember going into this conversation not having any clue. I think I had a couple examples that might have fit what you were looking for.
Yeah, no, there was a couple that worked out well.
Yeah.
So yeah, in this 10-minute conversation, you held your own. So
good.
Thanks. If there's any we missed, and I'm sure there are a lot that we missed, we just kind of, it was sort of planned, but planned in the way that Dave and I plan things. Hey, let's talk about this. Okay, we'll talk about it. So if there's anything we missed, maybe a favorite trick of a director you like, let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com, twitter.com, @moviesonup, or facebook.com/moviesonup. We'd love to hear from you. Looking forward to seeing that. We're also looking forward to seeing The Hobbit, which has officially finished principal photography this week. That is in the can, as they say. Set for a December release. The first part, they've going to be two movies that were both filmed simultaneously at the same time. It looks like we're still on track for that in December. And they finished filming it at 48 frames per second, which is a little bit different. Most movies are filmed 24 frames per second. A lot of people bitched about that.
He showed footage, what, a month or two ago?
It was
a while ago. He showed some clips from it, and that was all that the response was just bitching about the look of it.
And people bitched enough that there's going to be four versions of that movie. There's going to be 3D, 2D, 48 frames per second, and 24 frames per second. So, you know, you bitch, and that's fine. You know, you'll be able to go see 24 frames per second. But, you know, if you're willing to say, all right, Mr. Jackson, you know what you're doing. And if you choose to film this in 48 frames per second, that's a choice you made to make the movie look more realistic, look more like real life. I'm willing to give you a try on it.
And that's the thing, is people want to complain and people want to bitch that there's no original ideas in Hollywood, that everybody's rehashing everything and everybody's doing something everybody else is doing. And then when somebody takes a risk and does something unique and does something different, people want to bitch about it without even giving it a shake.
Exactly. I mean, there. I guess the people that that maybe saw the footage, yeah, maybe you can bitch. But I mean, what are you bitching about? Like,
I mean,
this doesn't look like film. No, it doesn't. It looks better. What's the problem?
I can kind of understand, because it is such an event movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a huge deal that people are so looking forward to it, that when you get there and it looks completely different, I somewhat understand that.
It looks different.
I think it maybe would have been more beneficial if he would make a 10 or 15 minute unrelated short in 48 screen film.
Yeah.
And just make that and
so people could
that.
See what that looks
so
like
that you
first.
Could see what it means, what it is in context.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. And, you know, to your point, yeah, people bitch about, you know, when different things come up and it sort of, if it's done well, you know, it's awesome, then people stop bitching. But I could see this kind of becoming maybe a bit of a fad where you know, more directors might look at doing this. I don't think that it's going to necessarily be as distracting as some other things that have become fads. I mean, you look at the rash of 3D movies now, and you know, I know you're not a big fan of the shaky cam, but those are both things that I think when they first kind of came out and they were first, you know, being used, they were really, really cool. But then you use it poorly and it just becomes frustrating and it makes you angry.
Yeah. And I mean, like look at Robert Zemeckis's motion capture.
Yeah.
He thought that was going to be the next big thing. He thought that was going to be the new CGI, like the new DreamWorks, Pixar. Nobody cared.
I think people just thought that it looked creepy.
Yeah, he was really the only one that did it. Now he's not doing it.
Right.
But then you look at, go back to Peter Jackson. Nobody was doing the stop motion that he did in Lord of the Rings when he did that. And now look at motion capture, like with Andy Serkis, and look at, I mean, a lot of movies are using that now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like Rise of the Planet of the Apes, like and I mean, Andy Serkis again, but I mean, without that motion capture that Peter Jackson did, we wouldn't have had that. And there was quite a bit of that technology went into Avatar, which was kind of a big deal. And I mean, give Cameron a lot of credit. He developed a shit ton of stuff for that movie. Essentially, you know, he had this idea for a long time, but a lot like Lucas, didn't have the technology to do it. So he built the shit. He built cameras that you were actually able to see as you're filming the green screen background. Like, you could see your characters and everything as it's happening. And that's just incredible. I think, that's something that the Wachowski brothers could have benefited from, you know, when they were trying to make Speed Racer. That would have been nice to have that camera.
Yeah, but and you look at that, like, James Cameron built his stuff. It's not only because he's a millionaire. Last year, this movie came out called Bellflower. Mm-hmm. Evan Glodell, I think, is his name. Him and his buddy built the camera. When he wrote the script, he had a certain feel for it. He had a look he wanted. No cameras gave him that. So they built a camera essentially from scratch.
And a car that shoots flames.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Don't get me started on Bellflower. But it was awesome that these guys that had nothing, that were just making a movie on their own, they didn't have a big studio behind them. They built a camera to make the movie they wanted. So, I mean, it's not, you don't have to be the millionaire to take risks look-wise, like tone-wise. Like, you can do it. And, I mean, it was cool. Like, I have a lot of good and bad to say about Bellflower, but one of the very, very strong good things is it looks great. Like, it looks different. It looks unique. I want to see what he does next. So it's like, there's a look to it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when directors do stuff like that, when they build their own camera, like those guys did, or, you know, when they want to mess with the frame rate, they're doing it not just because they're bored. It's because they think it's going to add something to the product. It's going to make it, it's going to give it the look and the feel that they want. It's going to make it more immersive. And I think that, you know, to bring it back around to the two things that you hate, you know, the shaky cam, it can be distracting when it's done just for the hell of it. But I mean, I can't imagine, like, the scene from Saving Private Ryan when they're storming the beaches without shaky cam.
No, that makes sense. And yes, what came to mind for me was the 4.5 minute cut from Children of Men,
mm-hmm.
where the camera's actually running with Clive Owen through a warp. There it makes sense.
Right, yeah.
What I don't like is two guys on a rooftop just kicking and punching each other, and the camera's just going all over the place. You can't see what's going on.
Yeah.
If it's used to put you in the action, I love it. It's very effective. Mm-hmm. Like Saving Private Ryan, yeah. Like Children of Men. But if it's just a regular fight scene that I'm not supposed to be there.
Well, that,
like,
that's...
I don't like it then. I don't like Paul Greengrass only uses, I mean, Paul Greengrass looks like fucking Michael J. Fox as his director of photography.
Oh.
It's fucking awful. Like, it's just, I don't need the camera shaking if Matt Damon's just walking across the street. So, like, would you do too much shaky cam? That's what makes me hate shaky cam.
You know what, though? It's very, I'm glad you kind of brought that up. When shaky cam's used in fights. Because, you know, people just fall all over themselves to just suck on the dick of Christopher Nolan. But, like, when he does the shaky cam in Batman, it's fucking annoying.
And that's one of my few complaints about his
right.
Batman
and,
movies.
And I'm kind of the asshole that'll say, well, maybe he uses it because it's a fight and he's trying to, you know, it's disorienting and that's how Batman must have been feeling. No, it's just goddamn annoying.
I hate to use the term, it's kind of a lazy way to shoot a fight. The choreography doesn't have to be as tight.
Yeah, you're right.
The blows don't have to be as brutal. Mm-hmm. Like, it just... But then, you look at fights and you look at, like, a movie like 300. Zack Snyder kind of did this thing where he's changing the pace a lot. Where nobody really did that a lot. And for a movie like 300,
yeah.
That was great because the fights were so intricate. It was the opposite of shaky cam because
right. There's
so much detail put into those fights. And with the speed up and slow down, you could see it.
The Wachowskis did the same thing in
The Matrix.
Yeah.
But the way the Wachowskis did it worked in other things. Like, it got picked up and people did it. Zack Snyder did it, it turned into a crutch.
Yeah.
Like, anything he did at Watchmen, there was no need for any of that stuff. Everything he did after that has the slow... It became just like a style thing. It was like a trademark, pretty much.
It was
his
signature.
Became a crutch, yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of... We're in 300, it advanced the story.
Right.
Like, it helped
the
with
first
the
time you do it, it's groundbreaking. And then when you do it every time from then on, it is kind of bogus. And
even his fucking Cartoon Owl movie had fucking slow motion speed up stuff.
I didn't watch the Cartoon Owl movie.
Now
I guess I'm not going to.
You know who did the soundtrack for the goddamn fucking Cartoon Owl movie?
I did, because you mentioned it last
Owl
week. It was
fucking
Owl
City. Because Zack Snyder thinks that's a good idea.
Well,
only Zack Snyder.
Hey, man, maybe... Is Owl City going to be in the soundtrack for Superman?
No, but probably fucking Three Doors Down will be.
Oh, God, I hope so. I haven't heard that song in forever.
Five for Fighting.
Oh, I actually like that song.
Our Lady Peace. It probably will be a bunch of songs that are just...
With the word Superman in it.
Yeah, no, because that's Zack Snyder.
Well, hey, that's whatever helps sell your film.
As always, with our discussion episodes, we like to have a focused watch this suggestion. So for this week, since we talked technology we like and technology that works, we decided to suggest a movie that we love despite having terrible effects. Ryan, what do you suggest our listeners watch this week?
This one, I'm pulling back from the annals of my childhood. It's maybe the special effects at the time were awesome, but they really don't hold up now. It's based off a video game, or at least the world was a video game, so you could see where those graphics have changed quite a bit. It's Tron. It's kind of a neat idea, actually a really neat idea at the time. And I think, I was real young when the movie came out, so I remember it from its VHS release, and that was, that was pretty cool. But it just doesn't hold up nowadays. It looks really dated, but I think the idea is neat.
I'm a sucker for a ridiculous genetically engineered shark movie. Not like a sci-fi original one, but the...
Mega Shark.
Yeah, if you give me a good cast in a genetically engineered shark movie, I'm on board. Even if it has subpar effects, like Deep Blue Sea did, starring Thomas Jane, LL Cool J, Sammy Jackson with one of the best movie deaths ever.
Spoiler, he gets eaten by a shark.
Yeah, it's just... I don't know why. I don't even know if I like this movie, but for years I've posted it on people's social media, like a clip from Deep Blue Sea on people's social media pages for their birthday. I don't know why, but I guess I like the movie enough if that's why I did it. But
or you just hate everyone on social media.
Terrible effects, though.
Maybe terrible effects, but hopefully you didn't think that this was a terrible discussion on movie technology. If you did, we apologize. We're kind of going for the rest of the week. We'll be back to top five lists of things that we really like. The next one, just a little FYI, will be our favorite remakes and remakes that we would like to see. And until we see you for that episode,
keep it up.